7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 34 of Color of Magic, your magic and gaming podcast, where we try to give some visibility to people who generally don't get it here in the industry. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and I'm always riding with my co-host, Brian Allen. How you doing, dude?
Doing good. Number 34. This is the Bo Jackson episode. So you can pick the play, and we're still going to run through all of you.
I don't know. We might need to find another 34, because that didn't have a nice ending for Bo.
Oh, true. And then I was going to say Walter Payton, and yeah, Walter isn't with us anymore. So there's just, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to go back to the drawing board on that one. While I have a second, I want to remind everybody about our sponsor, Cardsphere.com. Great website where you can go and buy and sell cards. They have a 1% transaction fee, which is awesome. And it takes no time at all for you to find people with the cards you want and people to find you when you have the cards that they want. It kind of takes the work out of trading, which is awesome. But yeah, and it's totally free to set up an account. If you put money in your account and you don't get any cards mailed to you within the first 30 days, they just give you your money back. No fees, no nothing, no questions. So, and we don't get anything per person that goes. We're just telling you it's awesome. Because I've used, matter of fact, I got 2 cards in this week, actually. And I just have an envelope sitting next to me that's about to go into the mail tomorrow for somebody.
And you got some YouTube videos, too, that just explain the process a little bit more if people want to go check those out.
Yeah, definitely. Plus, they are huge supporters of us and our content. So if you want to help us out, definitely go buy, set up an account. It's absolutely free. Even if you just check it out and end up not using it, it doesn't hurt to go give it a look. We want to introduce a new segment this week that we are calling the Soapbox. And mostly what we're going to do with this is we have some things that sometimes we have an opinion on, or there's some hot topic that we just don't really have space for in the show or a good way to craft a conversation around it without just rambling. So this gives us a 2 to 4 minute segment that we can just ramble. And today, I think I'm stealing the soapbox.
Go ahead.
So I don't want to go on a rant, but man, we have to learn how to treat each other better on social media. Like, I see people talking about, like, anytime there's a mistake, and I'm not even talking about, like, the obvious, because we're talking about gaming, but, like, with Magic and R&D or whatever, but, like, somebody will just be like, ah, I went to Jack in the Box and they gave me pickles when I said no pickles. They should fire everybody in that store. Like what? What's wrong with you?
Like, that was my wife, possibly.
I mean, I get it, right? Like, I mean, it sucks when you don't get the thing you want or the thing you paid for. And I'm not saying you don't have the right to be upset about it. But, like, I don't know. Like, we drove, matter of fact, I actually went to a Jack in the Box the other day. We were in drive-thru, and you could just hear it in the dude's voice in the speaker that he was just wore out. Like, I don't know. The dude may have been there all day. He might have got yelled at by his boss. Like, I don't know what was going on. I mean, our meal came out fine, but, like, if something would have been wrong, I'd have been like, dude, I kind of felt that from the dude when I pulled up. He's not having a good day. You know what I mean? Like, we all are going through issues, especially right now. And not only that, when you're talking about, like, politics, about the mask issue, you know, people are on either side with different beliefs or whatever. Like, cool. We don't have to be insulting each other all the damn time. We don't have to be attacking each other. But it's like, hey, let's try to get people to see what we believe is right. If they're not on board, cool. Then we have to focus on other things. But, like, they're just people being mad just over the top about stuff. And I don't understand. Like, there's still people on the other side of that. Like, nobody's doing well right now, probably, from a mental standpoint. We all have something we're worried about. Whether it's keeping our family safe, getting back to work, hell, and in our case, when are we going to be able to play big events again? Are our cards going to be worth money or not? Like, everybody has something. So people are all going through stuff. Like, just keep that in mind. Like, they're still people. You know, wrong. There are some people. Hey, we all have people we don't enjoy in our lives that we don't like for one reason or another. But I don't need to be wasting time online just constantly bashing them and, you know, wishing death on them. And, you know, some of the stuff I see is just ridiculous. It really is. And the threats and the ill will is way bigger than the actual problem itself. Like we're saying, like somebody got something wrong at a fast food place. Now it's like, you know, I hope they catch whatever. And you're like, dude, what? It was a $4 burger. But anyway,
the burger was $4, and that's what's not talked about.
Well, sure, sure. But that's it for me. I think that's my soapbox issue this week, is people need to treat other people better. And I'm not saying you got to go kiss somebody's butt. I'm not saying you have to agree with everything they agree with. But just be civil and treat people like humans, man. Come on. All right, that's it. I'll get off the soapbox. I'm done.
Well said, sir.
Now, back to our normal weekly programming. What did you learn this week, Brian?
Americans are so thirsty for sports. We will watch retired football players playing golf. That's how desperate we are for sports. And apparently it was the highest rated golf broadcast in decades or so. I think it might be the highest rated cable golf broadcast ever.
That doesn't shock me right now.
Well, yeah, I get it, because I've seen some of the sports talk shows and what they're having to talk about right now. So I understand. It was a big event and we needed it, but I just feel like, man, how must actual professional golf players feel that retired football players are bringing in better ratings than what they could? That just seems like kind of a slap in the face.
It might be.
And I'm not going to lie and tell you that I watched this or that I watched regular golf either. So I'm probably not the one they're concerned about. But I get it. It appeals to casual fans, you know.
The thing I will say, though, is like, I mean, under current conditions, people are just trying things right now.
Yeah, we'll take it.
And everybody's behavior doesn't necessarily line up with what people initially going in thought. Like, you know, one of those things is that podcasting's down right now as far as listens, right?
Yep.
But I think everybody's like, oh, well, podcasts gonna go up because everybody's at home. But it's like, oh, well, no, that behavior now is being transitioned to people watching YouTube videos and watching Netflix and whatever, getting caught up on things. Yep. Because you don't have your daily commute, transit, whatever. You're not on business flights or whatever, where you just need something to listen to. So yeah, I'm sure this falls under that as well. They probably wouldn't traditionally have tried to do this type of event, but I don't know, here we are, I guess.
Or, you know, if you're podcasting about football, you don't have a whole lot to talk about right now.
Yeah, that gave stories to both groups to talk about, I guess.
So coming soon, me and Daquan are actually going to play a golf match against some Yu-Gi-Oh! Pros. We're very excited about it.
Shoot. We better start at like 6 a.m. if we want to get done.
Yeah.
I might be chasing some balls around in the rough all day. Just letting you know. So, what I learned this week, and this is from me putting up some historic videos. I'd normally put standard stuff on the channel, but I decided I'd put up about a week's worth of historic stuff. By the way, if you haven't checked it out, I have a lot of cool decks up on my YouTube channel for historic right now. But historic's kind of bananas. I mean, there are some crazy over-the-top decks. I'm building all these things that are just winning on like turn 4 and 5. Like it's just wild. And it's almost like a lot of ships passing in the night. Some of my decks, I'm just like, you know what? I'm also going to ignore what you're doing. I might have like one kill card or something, but I'm just going to do my thing and see if you can stop me from doing it. And then just do something crazy. Like, it's just so wild. Like, and the format has so many over-the-top cards. It's crazy. And here's the weird thing. People have asked me, like, so are you really enjoying Historic? I'm like, man, I don't know. I really don't know. Like, the games are crazy fast. like, even if you watch my videos, I have a lot of, like, I have a couple of decks that went undefeated. I played 7 games with a couple of them and just rolled, right? And of those 7, like, one was a, like, reasonably decent, you know, 8 to 10 turn interactive game. The rest were just like, you know, we're just walking through a field effectively with no resistance. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's because I'm great. It's just the format's allowing a lot of wild stuff to go on.
I would have to agree, because we've established, like, I have only just hit platinum, but yeah, there are some combos I can put together with my collection where, I mean, I play my janky Knights deck, but if that thing has access to History of Benalia, Benalia's Marshal, and then whatever current white weenies are broken, yeah, it just kind of, it walks across people. And again, I'm not even that good.
Oh, yeah. And I can tell people, because this is going to go up on Thursday. If you want to see my channel on Friday, I'll tell you how dumb the format is. I built a Gruul deck that's an aggro deck that uses both Obosh and Luka. That's where we're at in Historic.
Okay. That does seem bonkers.
Yeah, it's wild stuff, dude. It is a crazy time. It is a crazy time. Some people love it. People are enjoying it. The videos I'm putting up, the conversation's been good on some of the message forums, you know, in the Facebook groups. But I don't know. I'm 50-50. You know, I even when I'm winning, I'm kind of like, I at least want the games to be interactive. You know, they kill a couple of my dudes. Maybe I top deck something, you know. But when I'm just like, okay, I didn't even get a great draw, and I just played a thing, and won.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a weird feeling.
You don't really know how well your deck works until you have to face a little adversity, you know?
Yeah, it's so crazy. So crazy. But yeah, it's just one of those things. So if you want to play a bunch of crazy over-the-top stuff, check out Historic. I do think the format at some point will slow down. I think as people start realizing what all the big decks are, it'll settle in a little bit, you know. Especially when you're talking best of three, I think you'll see it change. But yeah, until then, get your guns out. It's the Wild West, man. You got to bring the heavy artillery.
We got the horses in the back. I'm told the horse stock is also attached.
Yep. All right. So
things changing.
Yep. The more things change, the more things stay the same. We got a banning coming on Monday, June 1st, as they put it. So the announcement basically said that they're going to make some changes that affect Standard and Commander, I believe. And they are definitely going to be making a change to how companions work. And that's led to a lot of speculation this week.
So yeah, it sounds like multiple nerfs and things sound like they are inbound.
Yeah, anybody who follows me on Twitter, you know that I've been in a couple of discussions already about what cards could potentially be banned in Standard to help the format. And my list is actually pretty small. I have Teferi, which feels kind of obvious.
Yeah, it's nothing new that Daquan has not liked Teferi for a while now.
Yep. Plus, though, I will say this for Teferi. Though it was a valuable card for a while and it's played in a lot of decks, it's also going to rotate soon, so you don't feel as bad about that one. Or soon-ish, I should say. Another one on my list was Fires of Invention.
Yeah.
Mostly because, like, now that it exists, plus with Yorion and whatever, like, it's being used in ways I don't think they really intended the card to be used. I also have Agent of Treachery on my list. Mostly because Agent of Treachery itself, I don't think, like, I hate the idea of any card just dealing a thing with no recourse, unless it costs, like, 10 mana or something stupid. To me, there should always be a way or some opportunity where you can get that card back. Whether it's kill the thing and then it releases the card back to the owner, or, I don't know, when it goes to the graveyard, it goes back into play of the other person's side, whatever. Some downside to eventually the opponent getting the card back. Agent of Treachery doesn't do that, but it does cost 7. So I'm kind of like, okay. But then the problem is, you have stuff like Thassa that lets you blink it in and out of play, so you get multiple uses. Yeah. You now have Luka that lets you trick it into play, so now you can get it without even really paying its cost. You know, you have Yorion that it comes into play and blinks it, so you get another use out of it. Like, there's all these ways. Hell, not only that, Winota is playing it, and it comes into play and steals a creature, right?
Yeah, it probably was never meant to be played 15 times in the same match, or to be able to be played that many times in the same match.
Yeah, and that's creating some situations that are just not fun magic. So those are my three biggest ones. Now, I will say, I do also feel like, and this is a little silly, it may sound like, but Growth Spiral, though it's an uncommon, is on my watch list. And I would probably go ahead and ban that card. Mostly, in my perspective, is if you do that, it at least slows down the Simic decks, the Wilderness Reclamation decks, or whatever. Like, they would still be playable and still be good, but they wouldn't be as out of control if you get rid of that particular card. Because it draws an extra card, it gives them a chance to put a land into play, so, you know, it gives them just a chance to get their best cards down before you can do as much about them. So those would be the cards. And then I would get, and I think the way I worded it online, because I was responding to JRR2, I think, that I would also include Witch's Oven, but only give it like the suspicious side eye and keep it on a watch list.
Not the side eye.
Well, yeah, because, like, you know, I don't know. Like I sort of would want to see what the format looks like at that point with those other decks out of the way. Because people were already starting to find ways to deal with the Cat Oven decks. But now in the jumble of the mess, it's kind of like, well, if you prepare for the Orion decks, those others are going to blow you out. But if those don't exist anymore, then, like, maybe the format's different? I have no idea. So I don't know. Like, are there any big cards that you're concerned about?
Agent is the one that I feel like has ruined the majority of the games for me that I've seen it in. Because as you said, there just isn't really anything you're able to do about it for the most part.
Yeah, and for me, like I said, it's just a matter of that it just comes into play free or super cheap, effectively. And it just sidesteps so much stuff. And the times it comes into play, it can completely change a game.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have a good back and forth game and it's like, okay, well, they got a Luka and now they got an agent and they stole your best thing and now the game's over in two turns.
I would say Hail Mary pass, but Hail Mary implies, you know, that it doesn't go off. It goes off. It's a 10-yard completion that has the impact of a touchdown pass, basically.
Oh, yeah, and that's the thing, right? It's not that they're gambling on getting to wherever. It's just the way decks can be built right now. You always get it. Like, if you attack with Winota and you've got three triggers, you're pretty sure in Standard going to hit an Agent of Treachery. And usually that's it. Like, yep. You got, not only did you get an extra attacker, you got to steal their best blocker. Like, it's pretty wild stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where I'm at on that for sure.
Blowouts have been ridiculous. I'm going to win this. There's no way I can win. Oh, wait. Or no way I can lose this. Oh, there's the way.
Yeah, and you know what? And I think the thing is, I enjoy a good comeback. Like, I really do. But when there's no interplay to the whole thing, it's just like, oh, they got this one thing and then they cheated out their best card. Like, oh, yeah. All right. You know, it's so anticlimactic for the comeback. And that makes it even worse. Now, the other half of this announcement was that something is going to happen to companions. And we've talked about it a little bit before on the show. There's obviously endless threads out there about it. I will say the one thing I don't think is going to happen, which people have been pitching, is something that just ends up with the companion in your hand. And I don't think that's going to happen. And my logic is, if you did that, then discard spells become super strong.
Yeah.
And you can kind of negate the whole purpose of a player building around the companion. Like, for instance, if you were playing Obosh, and it ends up in your hand at the start of the game, however they decided it would happen in these scenarios. Well, let's say that gets discarded out of your hand on turn three. Well, now your deck's just a bunch of little undercosted, weird cards that are never going to deal double damage even one time. Or don't even get the opportunity to. So then it's like, why did you even take the disadvantage of only playing with odd costed cards?
Or, you know what I mean? Or is that the thing that could possibly make it fair, is that you have the possibility of losing it first turn, and now you just got a deck of basically bad cards at that point?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think that would just lead to Companion just not even being played at all.
Okay.
And I don't think that's what they're aiming for. I think the most popular thing, which I've agreed with since early on, is that if you have a Companion, you just start with one less card. And the logic is that there's a lot of decks, especially in older formats, you know, Modern, Legacy, whatever, that are changing one or two cards or just adding a Companion just because.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't even fundamentally change your deck or anything, but it's like, I just get a free card. I get access to an extra creature. Why would I not do it? But
free cards is good.
Yeah, but if you knew you were going to start with one less card, that changes how badly you may want to build around that Companion. Hell, I could even say in a lot of the games I've played, and on both sides of the issue, with a Companion or against a Companion, there's been a fair number of times where it's just like, oh, well, I'm out of cards. I'm just going to play this extra creature. But that's after I already got to draw all my normal cards. I went through all the rounds of stuff. And then, like, oh, okay, well, I still have this. But if I didn't have that extra card, in a lot of those scenarios, like, would I have gotten to that point where I could safely play that card and have it be as advantageous as it was, you know? So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. And who knows? Maybe R&D has something even more creative and interesting. But I think we all knew something was going to happen to Companions at some point. And I don't think they're going to get banned in any way. I mean, you're talking about 10 cards and, you know, you're talking about rares in the set and stuff like that. It seems like bad business when they can make a rules change and the rule change only affects those 10 cards.
So you're thinking not even one ban?
Nope. Not in Standard and Commander. I think that's the thing. Now, they may later on say they ban Lurrus and Legacy or whatever. If every deck continues to be Lurrus something, then like that would make sense. But I think I would see what this rules change is first and then see how that affects all the formats. Because like I said, the people who were just kind of like dipping their toe in just because of the bonus, they may not want to play it anymore. But I don't know. I'm not necessarily for or against anything they may do. I just think something needs to be done. So it'd be interesting to see what happens.
And as I said last week, I love that they're trying new mechanics. This one just was came out being a little bit over the top. And just once stuff gets out there, it ends up working in ways that obviously didn't foresee. Because, you know, there's a difference between having, let's say, I've asked you this before, like how many people would you say are play testing as opposed to when millions are testing it once it's out?
Oh, yeah. You're talking about a fraction. Not even a fraction. You know, it's such a minuscule percentage by comparison. But we'll see. There'll definitely be some stuff to talk about next week, that's for sure.
When I first read some of those restrictions, I'm thinking like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm not sure I want to play. And then fast forward a couple of weeks, like, okay, those restrictions. It's almost a what did we learn? We learned some of those restrictions aren't as bad as we thought, provided you get an extra card and you know exactly what the card is.
Yep. But, you know, we live and learn. We'll see. I think everybody's just sitting tight to see what's going to happen come Monday. So that's going to be a definite fun announcement. Probably I'll have to wake up early and make another YouTube video.
We'll be waiting for it.
New products. Or new product, I should say. Double Masters. That was also news last week. The good news. It's going to be a reprint set. The bad news, doesn't have fetch lands. Good news, there are double rares and double foils in the packs, which are crazy because then it means you could get four potential mythics or rares in a pack, which is awesome. Bad news, likely to be between $10 and $12 a pack. let's discuss.
If I know they're gonna be bullet points, I would have had a whole chart like good idea, bad idea, good idea, bad idea, good idea.
Yeah, it's a tough one, right? Because I get, it's kind of like we've touched on it before, right? Where players want cards cheaper and they want more people to be able to play their formats and play with them or whatever. But at the same time, they want their cards to have value because that's what drives their decision making, right? Like if the cards were reprinting things to a volume that their value was going to be tanked permanently, then you wouldn't want to buy a booster box. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
even if it was, let's say, a reasonably priced, like $100 to $150 booster box, if you knew the cards you were opening, though they were cards you could build decks with and everything else, but you're likely only going to get back maybe like $70 worth of cards out of it because the prices have tanked, you're not going to want to open them. So, I mean, that can't be good for business. So at some level, we have reached a point in Magic where like we have to accept there is collectability. Now, there is an argument to be made that when a set comes out and there's like, I don't know, five different versions of a card, that is too much. But when we're talking about reprint sets, I think this is a different thing. And I'll be honest, from the retail side of things, for a lot of the stores that are going to need the extra money, I don't hate it too much right now. And I was pointing out to people, and I can't remember who I was having this discussion with, but booster pack prices, just for regular boosters, the $3.99 regular standard boosters, that price hasn't gone up in almost 15 years. Yet every other cost, employees, insurance, cost of goods, as far as like raw resources, whatever, all of those have gone up. And they've kept booster pack prices at $3.99. So my question becomes, and maybe even you could answer this, like, would you feel better if instead of having these special $10 or $12 packs once or twice a year, I guess it's about once a year when they do it, would you rather, instead of having those, have all boosters that get printed just be like $4.99 or $5.99? I don't know, maybe $4.99.
I feel like I would rather have the double masters because, you know, hey, if that price is too much for you or you just don't feel like it's a product you want, you don't have to buy in. But, you know, if they raise the price of all the boosters and you'd like to continue playing Magic, then that's how much you're paying for a pack of Magic cards.
Yeah, see, and that's kind of where I'm at. And I don't think people have even considered that. Like, we all know inflation's a thing and we all know prices of everything has gone up or whatever. But, like, what else? And the thing is about Magic is, like, there haven't been a series of quality video games or movies or whatever, TV shows that are helping drive money to Magic. Like, it literally is the product making the money.
Yeah.
And they have not increased their prices really in 15 years. I say 15, it's like 2000, early 2006 or so. So 14 years, whatever. Like, you know, like, if we get these expensive sets every once in a while, yeah, I get it. If you just started playing Magic in the last 2 years or 3 years, there's going to be cards in here you want that you haven't been able to find, but you're going to, when, if you do get your money to go buy this box, you are going to open a significant amount of value. So that's kind of okay. I'm not saying I love it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not married to the idea of having special boosters all the time and whatever, but like, I kind of get where they are and why they exist. And it's not like they didn't make a real Masters booster in, what was it, a year and a half? It'd be almost 2 years by the time this comes out, because I think it's due out in like August, September. The last one was 2 years prior in November, I believe. So it's been a while. But what I tell people is if we don't like it, don't buy it. Like if it doesn't sell through, it'll, like, the reason they quit doing so many master sets is because the last one didn't have the sell through and the excitement or whatever that they wanted it to have. So they said, okay, we realize this is a thing we need to cut back on doing as much of. Now, the issue with people being upset that fetch lands aren't in here or whatever, I'm like, one, and I'm not even, don't even have it in the show notes here, but there is another round of Secret Lair stuff that'll be going on sale Monday. If you buy the package of five of those, you will get a random fetch land from the Secret Lair fetch land, whatever that is called, Ultimate Edition. But they still are talking about there's going to be a promotion later that they're going to use those for. If that's the case, and I don't know this to be true, but if I were guessing, the best use of those would be to sit on them and use them to encourage people to make purchases around the holidays from retailers. Kind of like the last couple of years where they sent a stack of special boosters to a retailer and they were like all foil stuff with like a selection of stuff from standard or whatever that were in there. So you just got bonus cool cards like rares and foils and stuff for buying a box. And I think the year before they were like Ixalan ones that had the special backs that had like the Ixalan map and stuff in the art. So it stands to reason that that promotion worked. So they might actually do it again, but this time maybe they send stores, you know, single card boosters that are just randomized. And if you go buy a booster box from the store in the month of December, you get one of these, which would be awesome. Because even if the prices come down on them, you're talking about the low end, you'd still be getting like, I don't know, $30 for your money just buying a box. And the upper end would probably still be near $100. Well, maybe not that much. Probably like $70, $80 at that point. But that could be, depending on the box you buy, half of your box or more. You know what I mean? And value. So if that drives money at the end of the year, that gets people to go to local stores and help them out, and people get fetch lands in their hand, I'm okay with using them that way. If you're using them as a tool to effectively drive business, especially in that way, because it's not even like pushing up the price of anything. It would just be saying, hey, for doing this activity, you kind of like to do anyway, but you're spending some of your money with our retailers. We're just going to hook you up with a bonus. And that's what I think is going to happen. So the fetch lands, I'm not really worried about. But man, the cards we're seeing already that have been previewed for Double Masters, they're pretty sweet. So I don't know, man. Here's the thing, though. How do you feel about reprint sets? Are you interested in them? Do they carry any attention for you at all? Do you see the value in them?
I mean, I'm somebody, you know, that is, you know, I kind of stick with some of my same decks until the wheels fall off of them. But still, I'm interested about it. This is almost kind of like, you know, you're almost like buying a lottery ticket. It's entertainment value. Like, hey, I'm willing to spend $10 on this pack. Did I get anything useful? If not, you know, oh, well, it's something to... So I'm interested to at least buy a few of them, even not necessarily for my collection, just to see if, hey, I can get something that I might want to turn around, or just to kind of almost like to just to be part of what it... Cause it's fun when everybody is sitting there, you know, in a corner opening their boxes and hopefully pulling good stuff.
That's true. Here's another interesting thing, too. I think people are concerned about the price of the boxes getting too high or whatever, but there's a reality right now. If you've never run a business, a lot of businesses operate on some level of credit, whether it's with a credit card, a line of credit through your bank or something, or just what we call net terms. And usually it's followed by a number. So it's like net 15, net 30, net 45. However, that's basically how long you can order something, and then you have that long to pay for it from your distributor or creditor or whatever. There are going to be a lot of businesses that, let's say even if the boxes go for $300, $350, right? They are not going to be able to wait for the premium dollar to come through their front door. They're going to need to make the sales to be able to turn those over so they can pay their creditors back. Especially around the holidays, because they're going to need that credit line open so they can keep... I guess this wouldn't be the holidays. This would be September or August. But they're going to need that credit open because they're going to need Zendikar 3 or 4 weeks following that. Because Zendikar comes out, I think pre-releases were scheduled for like the last weekend of September. So that goes on like first week of October, I think. I'd have to look at the calendar. But that's usually the time frame. So a lot of these stores, if they don't flip these boxes in 4 weeks, they're going to have a hard time ordering the product they want to order for the fall set. So I would not be surprised to see people picking up these boxes anywhere between low 200s to like 250, 270. I think several might start out 300 plus, but I think you're going to find a lot of deals you can get in the low to mid 200s. And that's why people I've seen posting like, oh, they're going to be like $16 a pack. I'm like, I bet you're going to find them between $10 and $12 a pack, easy, and probably lower in some cases. So I think that's going to play a big part in it too.
And like you mentioned, credit, store credit is also another thing that people are going to cash in. And this is the kind of time where you save up store credit for a moment like this and cash it all in.
That's fair. I mean, me personally, I'm probably going to get a box and I may even just sit on it. I may not even open it. The cards in there are so good. The value is so good. I may use it for promotional things to give away to winners of stuff on streams or something.
You're so patient. Like, I have such a hard time buying something like that and then sitting on it.
Well, the thing is,
me and it's sitting there in the house.
That's kind of the thing for me, though, is that like I see how much value is in the product, so I can use it a bunch of different ways. So I'm kind of in on it. I'm not sure I'm a big fan of all the reprint stuff, but we need new reprints to exist on some level so people can continue playing the things they want to play.
Most content creators are going to have obvious reasons because, as you said, things to give away, videos you can make.
Yeah. But it's interesting to see kind of how people see it. But now, let me say this as well. If we don't get a cool promotion with the fetch lands at the end of the year, then I will consider this product a missed opportunity. But I don't know. I say that. But there's some reprint equity there, though, right? If they know people are going to be chasing these cards, do you want to put them in a product that you're already literally doubling down and putting all this other amazing stuff in? Like, you can use that to drive sales somewhere else. But with that out of the way, let's give everybody a reminder about the MTG Arena Open coming this weekend. So if you are just random Joe, Jane, John,
Jacob, you know, Hammer, Schmidt.
Yeah, I don't know what we're using these days, but you get an opportunity to play for $2,000 from your computer, in your bedroom, office, living room, if you play on your laptop. Like, that's just cool. And it's, if you have 20,000 gold in your account, it's free, or 4,000 gems. If not, you spend the $20, load up on your gems, and then just go for it. It is a rebuy tournament, don't forget. So if you get your 3 losses before your 7 wins on day 1, you can try again. But I really suspect nobody's going to get more than 3 rebuys, because you're just going to run 3 total runs, because you're just going to run out of time. Because there's a time limit.
3 losses that fast multiple times, it's probably not your day.
Well, that's true. Yeah, if you just 0-3 in 20 minutes, and then you 0-3 again in 20 minutes, and then you do it again.
Something like, bad wrong.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? That should be your sign. Like, go take a walk. Walk it off. Rub some dirt on it, you know? But yeah, nothing major there. Just wanted to put out the reminder so people know that it's going on this weekend. I think it's going to be neat. I'm debating if I'm going to stream or not. I probably will take a shot. I mean, I have the gold, so it's like I might as well. But I don't know, dude. Are you going to be playing?
We know Daquan Watson got all the gold. You know, he's...
Well, which is funny, because in real life, like, I never wear gold. I don't even think it looks good on me.
He's like the Scrooge McDuck of Magic. He's just swimming through the gold on Arena.
No, but seriously, are you going to play this weekend?
I'm going to be out of town, so I'm unfortunately not going to be able to. So y'all are going to have to go out there and win $2,000 for me, ho. Totally not for me. In honor of me, take the money for yourself, though, if you get it.
That is such a sad missed opportunity.
I know.
Well, hopefully it goes well and they do it again, because I think this feels to me like a giant, I don't even want to say a social experiment, like business experiment. That what are the outcomes? Like, do more people get engaged in playing competitively? Do more people just sign up and try Arena? Like, I don't know. But, like, I don't think, like we said before, like, I don't think other companies are willing to take the chance to just let the average player have a shot at real prize money. And this is the first time that's happened.
as somebody that covers this game, I want to see a Rudy story. I want somebody that I've never heard of to go out here and win some money.
That would be awesome. I think it'd be great. But I honestly, I think
they do that.
As much as people aren't talking about the prize money, I mean, they're upset that like the money isn't big like a bunch of Magic tournaments or whatever. But I think people realize the number of people that will likely walk away with cash, plus all the gems they're giving away, you know, because those do have a monetary value. Like, Wizards of the Coast could realistically end up walking away from this, giving away somewhere between $150,000 and $250,000 in cash and or prizes.
And perspective, for those of us, you know, that aren't regular pro players, $2,000 for Play of Magic is not insignificant.
Well, no, for a lot of people, that's rent money.
That would, I'm sure at this point, I can't even think of how it wouldn't double or quadruple. That's like a factor of 10 to my current tournament winnings, I would imagine.
But I mean, really think about it. Like somebody that's just going through something, whatever, could sit on their computer for free, play, let's call it 3 hours of Magic, 4 hours of Magic, maybe on Saturday, and then play another 5 or 6 on Sunday and pay 3 car payments or more, yeah. Probably 4 or 5 car payments. Actually, that's crazy. That's so cool. Cause normally the money's just concentrated at the very top for a small number of players within any game where you're talking about League of Legends, Magic, Hearthstone, whatever. This is the first time that like an event's going to get done. And we might literally be saying like, hey, here's the 50 players that all got $2,000. And here's the other like 100 players that all got $1,000 because they only got 6 wins or whatever, you know?
I've always believed there are people out there, you know, that if they had the time and the money or even, you know, sometimes the inclination to go chase the pro tour dream. But I don't know that people realize how much time you spend away from your home and your family or, you know, time you spend practicing essentially away from your home and your family to play this game at an even remotely competitive level.
Absolutely true. And for me, I think I want this to succeed. I mean, and again, this is that whole like, let's be nicer to people and let's try to think logically, right? Because there are people that are like, oh, I hate Standard. I hate Best of One, or I hate this, or I hate that. Like, cool. Then don't play, right? This is a thing that other people are excited about. Other people are going to get a shot at. And think about the long term, right? If this works and this is successful, especially if you're a gamer that plays multiple games, the doors widen up a bit and that money spigot opens up a little bit for more opportunities for everybody. So I'm just saying, let's just see how it goes. Maybe we'll have something fun to talk about next week.
I certainly hope so.
I don't know. I think it'll go okay. It's just a matter of how good is it. Now, this week on the dinner table talk segment.
Did I lose you?
I don't even know how I want to approach this. Like we were talking about this pre-show. That there's some obvious news that there was a banning of a player. Austin Bercevich. So if you don't know the details, there was some information that it was shared with some number of people in the MPL that some number of them told Austin. Austin posted it publicly. The DCI and Wizards came back and said, hey, we want to know who it is. He didn't want to reveal the source. He got banned. That's kind of the shortened version. There's other details in there. So I think we wanted to approach this from a couple of different perspectives. Because I've had this conversation with a few people already online. Like, I'm more of the side of, like, I understand the business side of it, so I'll probably be approaching it more from that side. Obviously, you being a reporter, like, you'll be approaching it more from the side of, you got to protect your source.
Yeah.
Now, I want to preface this whole thing by saying that I personally would prefer a scenario where Austin was not banned. I also do not disagree with Austin holding his ground and protecting his source. With that said, let's continue.
All right.
I just don't want people to think like, oh, I'm just taking Wizard's side and like, F the players or whatever. Like, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. Okay, this is a timeline that I envision that could cause problems. Wizards is realizing that they have to make changes to OP for the rest of the year, which we talked about before. If you were surprised by anything in that announcement, whether it's reduced money, large events in person getting canceled, invites having to be moved to arena, whatever, you haven't been paying attention. So I get it. Some non-zero number of people will be affected, but under the circumstances, I'm giving them a pass because COVID has everything in a very undetermined state right now. And you, at some point as a business, you have to make a decision. You can't just have a bunch of stuff lingering forever because then there's contracts, there's paperwork, there's manpower, whatever that goes into that to keep maintaining that date or keep moving that date. And like at some point you have to budget money or time or people or whatever, and you can't just have it linger forever. So a decision just had to be made. I get that. But here's the thing. When we talk about flows of information, and I, in this example we talked about pre-show, is that when I had my store, if I talked to my staff about some potential ideas that were coming out, or some things like, hey, we're going to do these projects, I'm thinking about doing this, this could make us X amount of dollars, maybe we're going to do a co-op thing with one of the other neighboring businesses, you know, whatever. And then one of them talks to a regular, one of their friends. And then that person goes and posts online, hey, I hear Daquan Store is going to do all these things. Well, then now that has an impact on me. And I haven't even had a chance to talk with potential other sources. Even if I'm going to change the way I do something in my store, I mean, I had friends in the industry. I had distributors that were on some of my social accounts or whatever and followed stuff at my store. Like, if they saw something posted and I hadn't talked to them about it yet, like, that could have repercussions for me. You know, in Wizard's case, think about the fact of, like, they had these deals with, like, HP and other people for these Mythic Invitationals and whatever, right? If they were, say, courting other partners, or maybe they had something they hadn't revealed yet for maybe an event late in the summer, and they hadn't had a chance to talk to those people about it yet, but then this comes out, and now it's on 3 or 4 different websites or whatever within 24 hours, well, that's going to cause business issues. Now, the other side of that is, again, okay, so we have this regular customer of mine. They go post online. Now my choices are confront them and say, hey, who told you? They choose not to tell me. Fine. What do I get to do now? I either have to not talk to my staff anymore about stuff, which in this case, staff being MPL, not saying they're actual staff, but in the scenario, that's the equivalent role. I have to fire my whole staff, which I'm obviously not going to do because that makes no sense. Or I have to ban or remove that player from, as best I can, from the source to limit the flow of information. And that's tough. None of those decisions are good. Like, none of them are good. I don't like any of them. And that's kind of been my question to players, is like, cool, you're saying you want accountability, you're saying it with this, but like, what does that look like to you? You can't ask Wizards to crowdsource every single decision they want to make. Like, that's just not reasonable. Like, you want them to talk. Hell, we had like a half a year where people kept saying, well, you should talk to the pros more and you should do this and do that and whatever. Okay, they did, but then now information came out. And before they've had it, because here's the thing, like, let's go back to the beginning of the scenario, right? Wizards has an idea. They discover paper sales are, by the way, paper sales way outpace digital sales. That's already been known. They've already talked about it. It's 100% true, non-debatable thing. Paper is also going to be way down this year for a lot of reasons. So the largest chunk of the money is going to get hurt. So you realize, hey, we got to reduce money. We want to change the formats. We want to try some things. Let's go pitch this for a sanity check to the MPL. And admitted you, like, probably takes a couple days to get all your ideas together. You pitch it to whoever you pitch it to, maybe the whole MPL. I don't know. I didn't see who they sent it to. You have to give those people at least, I'm assuming, 2 days to read through it, come up with ideas, get back to you. Okay, great. Now you have it. maybe there's a day's worth of discussion. Now you have to do your write-ups, run it up the ladder to your directors, I don't know, company president, whatever you got to do, right? Because it's a big chunk of money and big changes. But then everybody approves it. Great. Now you got to have legal look at it. Legal needs a couple days to like rewrite stuff, check stuff with like local jurisdictions in every country, whatever it is they do. You also have to notify all your people in PR and marketing or whatever, because they've got to get their articles together. They got to change stuff on the websites. Make sure, and this is the step, like you got to make sure you contact all your business partners, make sure they know what's coming on before the announcements go public or whatever. Like that could be a week and a half to 2 weeks worth of time for all that to happen, you know? So for people to be like, oh, well, if they're going to tell them, they should immediately told the public, whatever. Like, I don't even know what version that information was in when it got to the players. It could have been final. It could have been like, hey, here's some ideas we're thinking about. What do you think? And somebody ran with the information. Like, that's kind of where my problem comes from. Like, there's so many things we don't know, and we're trying to just say, like, that was the absolute wrong decision. I'm like, I don't know. Now, I will say, the separate issue to this is people saying, well, the NPL was getting too big of an advantage. In a perfect world, I agree on principle that we don't want them having anything early about formats or whatever that everybody else doesn't. However, in this particular case, it was just stuff moving to Arena and people playing Standard, which, to my knowledge, all the ones I know of that I either know personally or talk to on Twitter, all were playing Standard anyway. There's no advantage to be gained there. Like, nothing new. There wasn't any new format being made. Does it suck if you were a person who doesn't have a PC or only play it on Magic Online? Sure. But that announcement, whether it's a week ago or today, doesn't change that scenario for you. It's still the same bad thing. So to say they destroyed the integrity of the tournaments and whatever by the players having that information, I don't feel it. Now, in another situation, maybe. But in this particular one, I don't think that's the case. So again, it sucks. I want a world where Austin's cool. He did what he thought was right. He protected his people. Doesn't get banned. But at the same time, we still get some way Wizards can do a thing to work on events and consult people with pros, but somehow still take care of the NPL. I don't know what that looks like. But that's my side of it. Like I said, now you have your perspective from just, you know, him having a source and all that.
Now for something completely different, as the saying goes. How many times during the course of our now 34 weeks have we been talking about Wizards making some kind of just unforced error, where even if they eventually got to a decision you could understand, the way they handled it was so just backwards and upside down at the same time. This is another example of that. There had to be some other way to figure out who the leak was than banning one of the game's best players.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, what does that look like to you? That's what I keep asking people.
I guess if I were to take it to the realm of journalism, you probably, when you sit down and you, because obviously, like you talked about in your scenario, Wizards knows who they told. So to some extent, they know who, you know, if these are people, and I'm assuming they know people in the NPL pretty well at this point. You know personalities. You know who's kind of a maverick and who pretty much would never break a rule if their life depended on it. So you've already got, there's no way they don't have some idea.
I can't back that, though. Like, because ask any business owner that's had to fire somebody for theft or whatever internally, it's usually a person you wouldn't think would be the one that did it. Myself included. So, like, just to say you know everybody, I'm just saying, that's taking a leap.
Well,
I know for myself, I was that, like, kid that made all the A's or whatever that the teacher never thought did anything wrong, but I was totally doing the stuff wrong.
And in this case, I'm not even sure you call it doing something wrong. Whoever leaked the information was very unhappy with the way things are being handled at Wizards. And just look at, for example, look at our two personalities. if you've listened to an episode of this podcast, you knew which one of us was going to be able to understand Wizard's side better, and which one of us, you know, is going to be coming down and on the side of you had to protect your sources at all the cost. It wouldn't be hard for them to figure that out. So for all of a scenario like this, I feel like they've punished Austin for their mistake.
That's my question, right? If you have the MPL members sign a NDA, and part of the agreement is we are using you to consult on future decisions for competitive play, what was their mistake?
You tell me, what was Wizard's mistake?
Yeah.
In terms of keeping a secret, and I don't know, do you know exactly how many people are in this loop?
I would assume, as far as we know, it's the whole MPL got contacted.
There's mistake number one. As the saying goes, if two people know a secret, that is one too many. So now we're talking about how many people is that? Because I'm not like
30.
That's entirely.
Well, 20, 24. Yeah.
At that point, it's a lot harder to figure out who it is. Even if you have, you know, over 24 people is just, and for all we know, it wasn't one of them. Maybe it was their cousin or their wife. Cause yeah, okay. You're not supposed to tell anybody. Everybody talks to their significant other, whether the significant other wants to hear it or not. And then maybe somebody mentions it in passing. That's just human nature.
Oh, agreed. I mean, at this point, I don't even know if it was something directly told to him. For all I know, it could have been somebody from the OP team is friends with somebody who's in the MPL and told them, and then they told Austin. Like, I don't know. Like, I have no idea where it's from.
Yeah.
Well, but it's such a tough situation because, like I said, like, if we want them to consult with the pros.
And at this point, are we even sure we want them to do that? Because all I'm seeing and hearing out there is that they have ruined the integrity of Magic. So who were these people that really, other than pros, that wanted them to consult with the pros? Did this average?
Oh no, if you go back and go backwards like a year and a half in the Twitter sphere, there was a lot of discussion about it. Somewhere between a year and a half and 2 years, that was a big discussion.
I will definitely go check that out because I wouldn't, again, I guess it's, and please, you know, contact us. For those of us that aren't necessarily pros, I don't know how much of the inner workings of that we watch or look at until it's time for pro play to start. But yeah, for a fact, I've seen no less than 10 articles talking about how Wizards has ruined the integrity of competitive Magic.
Well, I feel like those are just things people say all the time.
But the fact that people, because again, the whole debate about pro players should be consulted, as somebody that plays Magic and now essentially covers Magic, I was able to miss that. You can't miss what's going on right now. There's no way. I was out of town while this is going on, and my phone's in a place where I barely had internet access, and still I see my Twitter feed going ballistic. So this.
But here's the thing, though. Let me say this, though, right? Like, I have been in multiple Facebook groups where people have mentioned it, and people that are engaged in those groups still didn't know. I had people on my Twitch stream that they watch Magic streamers regularly, and they didn't know.
About the Pro Tour changes or about Austin?
About the banning and stuff. Yeah, they didn't know. So for people to also say, like, oh, this is going to kill Magic, like, I think we sometimes forget that organized play makes up a very small amount of the player activity and very small amount of the sales or whatever for Magic. Now, it has a purpose. It has a purpose. Pro players, competitive play kind of helps build decks and shape formats and gives people confidence to buy singles and, you know, give them something they can put on websites and whatever news stories and talk about things. So, like, they're marketing vehicles. Yeah. And that's for every game, whether people want to admit it or not. Like Hearthstone, Riot, whatever, they're not giving you money just because they want to make their players happy. They're giving you money because having those are showcases of their things and they can create hype to get more people to get more money. If they weren't, they wouldn't do it. Just being real about it. But like I said, like, because I was even thinking about it from a sports perspective, right? Like if there's a report, like right now, a good example is the Dak Prescott contract negotiations, right? Those are tenuous back and forth or whatever. There might be 8 people that know about those negotiations, like in any real detail. Now, if a reporter comes out and says, hey, well, I heard today, this is what went down. And Jerry Jones comes up and says, dude, look, who'd you hear that from? And you don't tell them, like, you don't think there's going to be repercussions for a thing that could cost them, I don't know, back and forth and negotiate, maybe a difference of $10 million a year?
Yeah, but I mean, that's the job. As somebody who once had one of my coaches threaten to ban me from the stadium, unfortunately, that's what you sign up for.
Agreed, but that's what I'm saying. This is the position Austin is in now.
Now, in fairness, Austin, you know, isn't a reporter, but I guess at the point that you're disseminating information on Twitter, you are to some extent, because I didn't know that. You didn't know that, and we're essentially magic media. So at that point, yeah, he's...
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's a real world scenario we're in now. Like, the minute you make the decision to share information that is not public, you have now become the reported source on that information. And I don't know how else to treat that. And again, I'm not blaming Austin. Like, he was... Dude's holding on to his morals and doing what he thought was right.
I feel like everybody, I won't say everybody, but I feel like the majority of the Magic community that I've interacted with over the past day or so is in Austin's favor on this.
Agreed. A lot of people are. But I think they're approaching, like I said, they're saying like, oh, the integrity, like, I don't see where the integrity was damaged. Because the information wasn't something that's just game changing. That gave them, like, them knowing that for a week, week and a half before everybody else, that's not going to change the results of that tournament in a month or whatever.
I agree that, you know, if you thought, we said this last week, if you thought that there were going to be a whole bunch of paper events getting played, or they were giving out the same amount of money, you were not paying attention to what's going on around you.
And that's my problem, right? That we're saying this integrity thing got damn, like, no, like, what integrity, what? Got what information that they get privy to that them having, let's even call it a 2-week head start on, was going to change the results of that tournament? It's just not. Like, if you genuinely, like you're saying, if you genuinely thought you were still going to be playing in a modern Players Tour event in a month with 200 other people, you were kidding yourself. Like, you should have been expecting either that event gets outright canceled or it's getting moved to Arena. Like, there was no other solution. There's just not.
As I said, this is an unforced error because at every step, Wizards has handled this the wrong way. It's not Austin's fault they had too many people in their loop, at least one of whom. There could be multiple sources. Has Austin said that there was only one person that told him this? I don't know.
No, he made it sound like there was multiples.
Yeah, so okay, Wizards has brought probably several people into the loop that at the end of the day didn't really have an issue with breaking an NDA. That's not Austin's fault. That's not anybody's fault other than Wizards. You got...
But again, and I'm okay with that. Like, if we say, don't ban Austin to send a message or whatever.
At this point, I would hope that we'd get to a point where maybe one of the sources reveals whoever officially, you know, broke the NDA to begin with, who would say, okay, it was me, and maybe they take Austin's punishment.
See, that's part of my issue, right? If I believe in it enough that I'm going to go tell my boy, like, hey, why don't you go talk about this? Like, I would have just recused myself from the MPL then. Like, you're putting your boy out there to possibly go take a bullet for you.
Of course, I don't know if anybody thought they would, because have they banned anybody for disclosing information before? I mean, there's no...
Not like that, but there's stuff that, like, when set reveals have happened early or whatever, stuff like that, they have banned players for that type of stuff.
Okay. I would also wonder, did they even give, because from just the email exchanges that I saw between Austin and Wizards, did they even give him the option to say, okay, the way I read it was basically like, okay, give us your source. I'm not going to. And the next communication, he tries to log on to play Magic and he finds out he's been banned. Is the way I read it happening, basically.
Yeah.
Then he inquired further and they told him, oh yeah, by the way, you've been banned. So I went, did they even give him the option beforehand to say, hey, look, tell us who you're banned, or did they just go ahead and the way I'm reading
it? No idea. That part I don't know. But even then, like, you had an opportunity. You can't be like, well, no, well, then we're gonna ban you. Okay, fine. Like, then you're not even holding on to your morals, you're just protecting your butt, right? Then that just looks worse. Like, you either you're standing your ground or you're not. He chose to stand his ground. I'm okay with that. But on the player side, like, if you're under, in any time I've had a contract, NDA, whatever, like, if I, and I've had those thoughts, like, am I ever okay with this information I have or whatever? If I'm not, then cool. I need to quit getting the benefit of this thing and walk away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because somebody felt like, well, I don't know if this is right, blah, blah, whatever, or whatever they felt. And maybe they thought it was fine. They just talked to them about the information. I don't know. But you put that information out there when you weren't supposed to, yet you're still going to benefit from being part of the MPL, whether that's the yearly cash payments or whatever else. So it's like, that's also a bad look. But all that aside, I keep coming back to, people are like, oh, well, they should have accountability, or oh, they should do this. Or I'm like, okay, cool. Tell me what you believe the best scenario looks like for Wizards. And I think I haven't had anybody give me like a reasonable solution under this circumstance. Because like I said, to me, it's either you do something to the reporter, and people want to call him a whistleblower. This is not, to me, like to call somebody a whistleblower, there has to be damages, significant damages incurred or being protected or whatever to call it a whistleblower. Like,
I mean, if you believe that the competitive integrity of Magic has been ruined, then there's damage. And I'm not, and I believe that you clearly don't, but let's say 10,000 people believe it and they never buy Magic cards again. Now there's damage.
I can tell you that, you know what? The Pro Tour stuff getting changed two other times was supposed to be the end of Magic and competitive play. The 6th edition combat change was going to be the death of Magic. The two different card face changes were supposed to be the death of Magic. You know, like, people are going to quit buying. People are going to quit going to, like, that's, it's just not. Like, we're not even going to be talking about this in 3 weeks.
I get what you're saying, but there wasn't a global pandemic during any of those times.
Fair. Maybe people that changes things.
People have less money to play Magic than what they did before. People are determining, like we talked about podcasting, people are figuring out what they're going to do with their free time. If ever there was a time to quit spending money on one of your hobbies, we're in it.
Fair. But it's also one of the hobbies some people are actually going to be able to get a return out of too still.
Yeah.
And that matters.
So this is one of those cases where perception may be reality, because you can, if I compare your, you know, obviously very calm, I would say very rational take, you are by far in the minority to the coverage that I'm seeing. Most of what I'm seeing is Magic's competitive integrity is damaged. Imagine if you're picking up this game for the first time and this is what you see.
But it doesn't matter, because those people aren't ever going to go to a competitive event. Like, I can tell you, like, there were,
because everybody started, you know, as that kid that, hey, I got, you know, a starter deck in a dream. We all started that way to some extent.
Oh, that's not true. There's a lot of people that never, like, they just want to play with friends. Like, they see their friends going to the store. They see them talking about Commander regularly. Like, that's where most of it starts. Like, there were genuinely players that I tracked that would show up only at pre-releases. That's it. If they didn't have to register a DCI number playing a pre-release, we would never know their activity with the game of Magic, because they never played anything remotely competitive. Not even a local F&M on a Friday, not a casual booster draft, nothing. I mean, literally nothing other than pre-releases. And there was a significant number of people that fit that description.
Oh, I don't doubt that there are, but now that we're, you know, now that we're streaming tournaments on Twitch and whatnot, and we're making a big deal out of Magic and esports. How much money is there?
Let me try it from a different perspective. Look at how many stores fail that are under, even just game stores that are underfinanced, have local struggles, whatever. And then how many of them pop up right after that, do just as bad a job, and they fail anyway. You've seen it happen a ton, right?
No doubt.
So don't you think those same people that are gamers, backpack dealers, whatever, that think they can open a store, aren't also going to be opportunists that if these other good players decide they're not going to play anymore, that they're not going to look at that as their shot?
Oh, they certainly are. But as you said, like with your store example, how many of them will succeed?
There's a better chance for them if the other people are out of the way.
For example, we apparently have lost Austin for an indeterminate amount of time. Is there another Austin sitting out there? We don't know. The odds would probably say no, there isn't.
Sure. I'm with that.
Especially somebody not only cares about the game, plays the game well, but I mean is willing to take a stand on an issue and be banned from the game he loves. How many of us would have done what Austin did and risked the same penalty?
If I believed that there was a significant advantage being gained, then I would have probably done it. And I would have just, whatever happens, happens. I'll go down with the ship. And that's why I don't fault Austin for doing what he did. And I think that's the hardest thing for people to reconcile when I've discussed it with them, is that I get why it happened, but I agree with what Austin did. Because though I don't see the situation the same way he does, if I did, I probably would have acted the same way. The difference between me and him, though, is like I would have known what I'm walking into.
Oh, and just I guess kind of as a by the way, has there been any kind of official statement from Wizards on any of this?
No, why should there be? What is that going to do?
You banned somebody. You were supposed to give some explanation. Now, obviously, he gets one, but...
But here's my point, though. If it's already out there, and the same people who see it are going to see it, what's the point?
The point is you're a major corporation that runs, a card game that people invest literally millions of dollars in. You have to do basic public relations. It's part of running a company. For example, if the NFL suspends Tom Brady for a year, you got to tell us why.
But the thing is, when they post their list or whatever, you see person's name, band, years, and whatever.
That's not enough anymore. There has to be actual... explanation when you can clearly the majority of the community hates this decision.
That's fine. What do you want him to say? Come out and just say, cool, we banned him because we had an investigation, he didn't cooperate.
I mean, I'm not gonna put the words in their mouth. They know, only they know why they made the specific decisions they
did. But no, that's literally it. That's the explanation. That's what they gave him, that's what he's already posted.
That's what they gave him, but still, and by the way, that came from support email. Whoever did this didn't even have the courtesy to put their signature on it. Who discussed this and who decided this?
Here's the thing, though. I get what you're saying. I really do. But that's just pretend it's going to make me feel good kind of thing for them saying a certain thing. But the truth is, literally, they could just copy and paste the same thing and post it, and the effect's the same thing. There's no words they're going to use that's going to make the people that see it the way it is feel better. It's not going to make anybody feel worse. Everybody's going to walk away feeling exactly the same reading whatever they put out at this point.
It's, how many times you apologize to somebody knowing they weren't going to forgive you? It's just part of what you do when you have to make a tough decision, especially when, again, you're a multi-billion-dollar corporation.
I get it, but I don't see the benefit of it. I mean, I do get it. I get what you're saying, but I'm fine just letting it roll.
And, it'd be a different scenario if this hadn't happened before. We've been talking for, at this point, 34 weeks. This is the fifth time we've had a conversation about you might have reached a decision, the right decision, but good Lord, the way you handled it was just catastrophic and wrong.
That I agree with to a point. I do feel that way about other things that Wizards has done, for sure. But again, I can't say that about this particular scenario because we haven't identified what the good outcome looks like. Other than people are saying like, oh, well, they just shouldn't ban them. I'm like, okay, great. But then how do they approach this problem otherwise? And if you're okay with the option three or whatever, which is cool, we just go back to making our own decisions and not consulting with the pros so we don't have potential leaks or whatever. Okay, then cool. But that's not what people want to hear.
In terms of keeping information, you know, locked down, that's the best thing they could do. But as I said, I haven't read the opinions, you know, about we need to consult with pro players more. Maybe that goes away after this. I'd probably not.
Maybe.
I don't know the internet, but it could be
this story.
You got what you asked for, and because I just.
But again, there's probably something they couldn't talk to us about because they were probably deals that weren't done yet. But like, I would not be surprised if that information coming out either, again, wasn't in its final state or complete or whatever, or also they hadn't had time to craft their communication, talk to business partners, whatever around it, and that caused a bigger issue.
Oh, that's...
And it may have been the case that like, all right, cool, then somebody's got to get punished. You know what I mean? Like, that would not surprise me in the least. Because I can see a lot of ways that could happen very easily.
Oh, definitely.
Especially right now, while every company's kind of trying to stay in contact with each other and everybody's on pins and needles and everybody has deals attached to everybody else's deals and nobody knows what's going to happen and what's not. And they're all trying to make decisions. And then somebody's like, whoa, hey, did you see this thing from Wizards? Like, this event isn't happening or this is going to get changed or whatever. Like, did we know about that? You know what I mean? And then somebody's getting their phone blown up.
Yeah. I wonder if, you know, whoever or if it's multiple people behind the leak, or if they have concrete information that this sort of thing has happened before with information that wasn't stuff that could probably easily be predicted or figured out.
No clue. And here's the other thing, right? Like, did Austin actually putting that information out change anybody's behavior before those announcements? Like, let's say you believe that, okay, they had this information a day or two before Austin got it or whatever, right? And then he goes and tells the public, so everybody's on the same competitive advantage. Like, did any of those people playing MITGO magically all go like, oh, well, we all better go get arena accounts now. Oh, I only have an Apple. I better go get a Mac or a PC or whatever, right? Like, that still didn't happen until the official announcement came out. So what even was solved by that happening? If you believe that was a concern. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't even know what the gain was out of any of this to even get into the scenario.
But we've discussed this. I firmly believe, you know, that if you were to take everybody's resources away and start an even playing field, but within a year, the same 100 people would be right back at the top of the standings because they're just better at Magic than the rest of us.
I mostly agree with that, yeah.
But the perception, especially at this time, I think is damaging. Because people that barely cover Magic are writing about this.
You have a scenario where people are also just... A lot of people just aren't doing mentally well right now. So they're overreacting to a lot of things. And that's why I'm saying, I think even it's hard to have some rational conversations about it. Because like I said, there's people literally, I tell them like, hey, I agree with Austin in a stance from his perspective, totally. And they're like, well, you can't agree with him if you also think it's okay for him to be banned. I was like, no, that's not the case at all. Like if I was in his shoes, I would have, if I believed what he believed and I was in his shoes, I probably would have done the same thing. And I'm also not going to sell out my boys. Like, that's just the way it goes. Like, if I got to take the hit, I take the hit. But I also, from Wizards, I'd see how, like, hey, we're trying to close up loops. We're trying to protect financial interests. Like, I don't know. There's a bunch of variables that I don't think people have even considered as to why this could have been even worse than it actually appears on the surface. And that's the thing they can't tell us. Because, you know, if they had to shut down some business deals or, I don't know, pay some money back to a venue or whatever, I don't know. Like, there's a bunch of things that could have happened. They're not going to tell us about all that. Because the public just didn't know. And that's like need-to-know business stuff. So it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
And again, somebody's got to, you know, just basic PR and explanations for things.
But it's also, like I said, like, if we're going to be mad at somebody, in reality, let's be serious, like, corporations aside, whatever, let's just assume these were all people, right? Friends of ours, social workers, whatever. Like, the person you should be mad at is the one you confided in. The person that was supposed to be taking this information and helping craft a better thing is the one who decided to share information. So there's some MPL player or some number of MPL players that basically created a fall guy so they could stay protected and keep getting, even if they believe there was a competitive advantage. They're saying, well, I'm cool still getting it. I don't want to put myself out there because this is helping me out, but you might want to go say something about this. You know what I mean? Like, that's actually worse. And I think that's part of the conversation that's not being had too. Like, if you believe there is a competitive advantage that was gained from this announcement, again, arguable, but if that's what you believe, fine. Then you should be more mad at whoever those MPL leaks were that were making the decision to stay in and get the benefit, but not make it public. Like, that's worse than even Wizards telling them about it. Even more so that they felt bad enough about it to go tell somebody so they would go report on it, but protect themselves so they can keep getting whatever this benefit is. You know what I mean? Like, that should be more bothersome.
And do you think they knew that he would get banned?
I don't think it matters if they knew or not.
I think it matters a little if you know.
No, you know why? Because, again, if we're making this a moral stance and an integrity stance, you're telling us there is a player or players, probably players from the way everything sounds, some number of players that felt they were getting an advantage, assuming this is the whole reason that they said it or whatever, but this is the belief, right, if we're talking about integrity. And with that, they made the decision that, well, I want to stay in this position and keep getting these advantages, so I'm not going to let it come back to me that this is a thing. Like, that alone is you should be questioning somebody else's integrity. Because if you were, like, I have been in game. Like, let's take Raw Deal as an example. If I knew something or I had a heads up, like, I didn't play in a particular event. I just volunteered to help run it. Right? If I knew something in advance or something that was going to help or whatever, or change a thing, it's like, cool, I just recuse myself of it. I'll find another way to be involved. Like, in this scenario, if you thought it was that bad, do you now lack integrity by not either speaking up about it or walking away from it?
But then, if somebody just, let's say somebody's qualified for the MPL, just drops out with no explanation, does that essentially tell you who's upset? And now you just got to figure out why they're upset.
Sure, but the thing is, if you accept that as being, like, that's the thing, and we're talking about integrity, right? We're talking about one of Kurt Angle's three eyes.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to make integrity a thing, then that means you have to make those tough decisions when you think something's wrong. And we have some number of players. Again, if you believe the issue was an integrity of the event and them having inside information or whatever, some number of players had that, and they themselves did not speak up or walk away or make some type of fuss about the unfairness of the process. But yet nobody wants to talk about that. we're saying, oh, well, Wizards shouldn't have told him, or this shouldn't be a thing. But, like, regardless, you were, if you were that player, you were put in that situation, that's the decision you made. That you were going to protect your own self-interest, keep getting whatever the benefit was, but I'm going to funnel this information off to a friend, and hopefully it doesn't come back to me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't say it's an integrity thing, but then not want to hold the person who knew and was getting the benefit accountable. That would be like if you were at work, right? And you knew you were getting away with doing less work than the person, other people in your office. But your boss was like, well, hey, as long as you're coming and, I don't know, playing poker with me on Friday nights, I'm going to hook you up with an extra $2 or $3 an hour. If you don't say anything, then you've now got questionable integrity, right? You're knowing you're getting away with doing less work and getting paid more just because you're willing to go hobnob with the boss.
Not necessarily, because I would say it's a boss by boss issue. With some bosses, actually interacting with them on a personal level is going to be far more work than anything you'll ever do at the office.
Well, maybe. I'm just saying you enjoy hanging. You're playing poker or something, right? You're going to have a drink on a Friday. That's kind of the same scenario. Like, you know you're getting a benefit that other people aren't for putting in less work effectively, but you're choosing not to say anything. Like, would people not question your level of integrity at that point?
Especially in current environment, who wouldn't take an extra $3 an hour into their paycheck, regardless of, long as you're not, you know, doing anything actually illegal, who's not going to take an extra $2 an hour to their paycheck? Especially anybody.
Oh, I'm not saying you wouldn't take it, but I'm saying what level of integrity do you hold at that point?
If you got, especially in my case, 3 kids to feed, I'm perfectly fine with your integrity.
Okay, then cool. Then maybe maybe that's the issue. We're okay with the integrity of these players because some of them can use the money. And they don't want to stop their cash cow or their golden goose. And maybe that's how people are rationalizing it. But that's what I'm saying. It's a matter of if we're talking about integrity, I'm just saying there's some other people's integrity we have to question as well. That's all.
It could go on forever, folks, but we,
it could, we could do it. I think we spent like just 30 minutes doing that. So, but the point being, more than anything, I think I just wanted to have that conversation so people understand, like, there is a lot of things that go on behind the scenes with information. A lot. Definitely. And there are a lot of things attached to it. And there are real dollars, real jobs, real whatever, that are affected by information coming out early. And I think I told you before on the show, like, when a set got spoiled early, that genuinely created almost two more full weeks worth of work for multiple departments.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I can see this same thing where if there are business, and that's the thing too, what people don't realize is it's not just it's like, okay, well, we were going to give articles or previews to these websites, and then we were going to do this cool promotion with this other company. Yeah. And, you know, like, the list goes on, right? So if that comes out early and screws that up, all of that gets affected. So I don't know what was affected by this announcement coming out, but I feel personally, just knowing what I know about business, having been at Wizards, whatever, again, I don't know anything at this point, but it feels like something major got in the weeds somewhere. Somebody got, you know, some deal fell apart or whatever, and somebody had to be punished. And if Austin doesn't want to give up the person, I get it. Because like I said, if I was in his shoes and I believed the way he does, I would have done the same thing. Granted, I would have been okay with the consequences because I just know the ground I'm standing, and that's okay. But it's a much harder situation and a much more nuanced situation than I think people are taking the time to really give it. Now, could it be handled differently? Yeah, absolutely. But I think there's more in play than we really want to talk about. And that's why I was glad to have this conversation with the two of us back and forth and having some different perspectives so people can just see and hear more ideas and more thoughts about how each side can get to the logic they're at. And then, like I said, we even settle. There's a point of there's possibly somebody else that really has worse integrity than Wizards or Austin. You know what I mean? Like, in the end of all this. And we're kind of giving the players a free pass.
I feel like, you know, now as you said, this could be something where, especially with bannings getting ready, or bannings and changes getting ready to drop, possibly, this is a story that easily could get pushed to the back burner. But if it's not, I mean, if people continue to put reporters on it, I think we eventually find out where the leaks came from. That's usually...
Well, I would like to, ultimately. I really would. Like, because again, like I said, I'm bothered because of the fact of like, okay, cool. If you're saying somebody's getting an advantage, but they still want to say something, then like say something or don't. Either, I hate using the term, ovary up. There we go. We'll use that. Ovary up or just deal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just feels weak. Like, it just does. But anyway, I have news, as if there wasn't already a lot of news this week, but I've been reaching out to other guests, so hopefully in the next 2 weeks, we'll start getting a schedule together that we'll have some guests for the coming episodes.
All right.
I want to say thank you to everybody on Twitter, especially, because I had a bunch of people recommend people, a bunch of people reach out. Was difficult on some, because there's people who, you know, you can't get into their DMs, you can't send them an email. They don't have a website. It's just like, oh, come on. And then the one or two I did try to post something publicly, they ended up not responding. So I just had to delete some tweets. So then we're just sitting out in the ether forever. But yeah, we're going to have some on there. There's a good spread of guests. So the biggest issue is generally just trying to figure out when we can have the guest on and then how we can tie an episode to their level of expertise or interest. That's usually the toughest part. But yeah, once we figure that out, everything will be good to go. And you'll be getting to hear some fun perspectives from new people. People that we barely know, which is awesome, which makes interviews even better. But for now, now that we're 30 minutes beyond an hour, why don't you tell everybody how they can find you on social media, Brian?
All right, I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter.
And as always, I am Power Dragon, PowerDragn. You can find me on just about every social platform these days. But you can catch me streaming on Twitch, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, 9 p.m. to midnight Pacific. Or you can catch me pretty much every day on YouTube, because I'm putting tons of stuff on my YouTube channel. So hit me up over there. But that's going to wrap it up for us this week. Wherever you're listening from, whenever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, and stay safe out there. If you have a chance, please check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook at Color of Magic. We're also over on Twitter and Twitch at Color of MTG. And we have a website you can check out, colorofmtg.com. Please share our episode with your friends and help us grow our base. As always, every little bit helps, and we appreciate your support.